Morning, everyone, and it's nice to see you. Today is Thanksgiving, and all across Canada, we celebrate this day, or this weekend. We call it Thanksgiving weekend. And, you know, as I was pondering, what could we possibly add to the message of Thanksgiving? We've heard it every year. I was thinking, I sure hope that we here today give thanks more than once a year. You know, I think it's kind of funny that they put one day aside or one weekend and say, okay, this is the weekend we give thanks. And then the rest of the year, we don't think about giving thanks. But this morning, I want to share a little bit with you on, number one, why it's so important to give thanks as a Christian and the power behind it. I think sometimes if we had more understood some of these principles that we're just told, go home and do it, that we'd be more apt to contemplate them, think about them, and begin to see the result or the benefits of using these things. So it's more than just me telling you here today, remember to have a thankful attitude, you know? And we need, as God's children, it's very true, we do need to have a thankful attitude. But do you know a thankful attitude comes from one place? It comes from knowing God. That's where a thankful attitude comes from. It isn't something we do outwardly, because we can say thank you outwardly and in our hearts that's what you call a form, or it's good manners to say thank you. But if it's not from the heart, it means nothing and there's no power in it, right? So we, as God's children, we need to be thankful. And it isn't something outwardly. It's something that is from our hearts, and it comes from knowing God in our hearts. And what I mean by that is that the more you know about God and Jesus, his son, the more thankful you become. It becomes an attitude, okay? I'm not talking about just mannerisms here this morning. And this morning I want to share a little bit about why we can be so thankful. Because let's face it, more people complain. It's more normal to hear people complaining than to be thankful. Isn't it, in the world? I mean, when you ask somebody how they're feeling and how they're doing, it's funny that unless they have something negative to say, they really don't say a whole lot of anything. Right? I mean, oh well, you know, I got this or I got that going on in my life. We are all, human nature is programmed to be very negative. And this morning I want to show us how we need to be thankful and why. Now, in the natural, we teach our children, we raise them up to have manners, right? I mean, we've got Parker, we teach him, you know, what do you say? It's good manners to say thank you when someone does something nice for you, or thank you is something that we train our children to do. But this morning, I'm not talking about good manners, because all of us can have good manners and there's no power in that. But there is really a lot of power in true thanksgiving when it comes from the heart. All of us in this room here have done good deeds for others. Whether it's to our children, our family, our friends. And it is nice, right, to be recognized. If you go out of your way and do something nice for someone, something out of the ordinary, I'm not talking about going to your workplace and doing your job. Okay, that's your job, and you're getting paid for that. But I'm talking about going out of your way and doing something over and above what is expected of you. It is nice for someone to recognize that, and we want to be appreciated. We want to be at least thanked, right? Is that not human nature? If you go out of your way and do something and they don't even recognize it, it doesn't sit well with us. Why? Because it makes us feel good about the effort or the sacrifice that we've made in order to bless someone else. And we ought to be thankful to one another, our fellow man on the earth. Yes. When someone blesses us, or we bless someone, we do need to remember to be thankful. Always remember that. And when you are thanked, when you are appreciated for any gesture that you've done, whether it's big or small, guess what it does to you Now, there's a key in this, and I'm going to, what does it do to you? When someone comes up to you, Dave, after you've done a good deed, and they're just overwhelmed and grateful, it makes Dave want to do that again. It's good. It's a good thing. And that's how thankfulness begins to mushroom and to go round and round. And, you know, we've seen movies like Pass It On, you know, and that's true. It's like when someone is grateful and you've done something for someone and they're so grateful, that makes you want to do it again. But it also makes the person who received want to now bless someone else. You see, so there is power in that even amongst non-Christians, because all of us like to feel good about ourselves. It makes us, I don't know, it just gives us a good sense on the inside. So these things just continue to go round, and the blessing just keeps on rolling. So it is important. I'm just trying to tell us and stress, first of all, that it is important for us to be thankful to our fellow man and where our fellow man is concerned. And that you and I learn to receive with gratefulness. How many times do we, you know, you go out and you bless someone and they look at you and they say, oh, you shouldn't have. That's our attitude. Of course they shouldn't have. But if we have that attitude with God, I'm telling you, that is not a good attitude to have towards God. You shouldn't have. More importantly, I know we know and understand, even because we've been trained to have good manners and be thankful. But more importantly, you and I need to have a greater understanding of the power of things, of the thanksgiving in the things related to God. That's what I want to talk about here this morning. God's reasons for wanting you and I to always be thankful for his goodness are much different than the reasons of the world. In the natural, we give thanks after someone gives us something or somebody blesses us or does something nice for us. Or let's just put it this way. We give thanks after we've received something. But in God's kingdom, we are to give thanks always, at all times, for all things. That's what the Bible teaches us. We are to give Ephesians 5:20. If you don't believe me, go there, look it up. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we ought to live. By giving thanks always for all things. How many of us just walk around all day long giving thanks for all things always? Come on, be honest. I would say the majority of us complain more than we give thanks. We complain about all things always. Now, this scripture can look very different to different people, depending on how much understanding you have of God's word. Now, this scripture, to give thanks for all things always, has to be interpreted through the light of the gospel, through the light of the gospel message. And in fact, every scripture that we take in the Bible, in the New Testament, has got to be interpreted properly to understand the proper and the true meaning of it. It has to go through the cross. It has to go through the gospel message in order for it to be properly seen and understood. Now, first of all, I'm going to get real here. What does the giving of thanks mean to you? When the Bible tells you to give thanks always for all things, well, it means what it says. It means to be grateful for all of the things. Always. So, the Bible says all things. Now, if you interpret that scripture exactly how it says it, we can come up with all kinds of funny doctrines. Be thankful for all things, always. Now, if we don't interpret that through the light of the cross or the gospel, we are going to come up with a really funny interpretation, which we see in the Christian church today concerning thankfulness. If we interpreted it outside of the gospel, we would have to be thankful for all the good things and all the bad things. And many of us try to practice that. Because that scripture clearly says all things. And there are many that do it. They are thankful, even for the diseases in their body, the poverty in their bank account, the pains in their joints, you know, all the lack in their lives, the lack of money to pay their bills each month. They give thanks for all of the roughness, the toughness, and the pain of everyday life. They'll say things like, well, you know, I don't know why God has given me this cross to bear, but I'm going to just patiently and give thanks and bear this cross and offer it up to God as a sacrifice. Come on. I was taught that way. I grew up believing it that way. I'm going to patiently endure all things and give thanksgiving for these things. I don't know why God has put this on me. He's obviously trying to teach me something. Because somehow in the end of all this pain, there's got to be a lesson for me. There's got to be something that's going to help me be a better person or help me get to heaven. So I offer up all of my suffering, all of my bad to the Lord in thanksgiving. Sound familiar? We take a lot of things and we offer it up as sacrifices to God in thanksgiving. And then we quote Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, which says, By them, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. After all, if you and I can be thankful for all the bad in our lives, that is a big sacrifice. Because it's much easier to gripe and complain about the bad than it is to give thanks for it, isn't it? But I'm here to tell you good news. That is a total misunderstanding of that scripture. That is not what that means. Because you as a parent, if you practiced it that way with your child, if you brought something that was bad upon your child, and then you told your child to be thankful for it, because I'm teaching you something, you would be taken to social services and your child would be taken away from you. That is not the way God is. That is not His nature or His character. The truth is that nowhere in Scripture, nowhere, and you can check it out if you have time to read the whole Bible, nowhere in the Scripture does God say we are to be thankful for curses, for bad things, nowhere. Or any evil that a curse brings into our lives. And secondly, nowhere in Scripture does it say that we are to offer up our earthly sufferings as a sacrifice. Nowhere. But the Bible does teach that our thanksgiving is the only, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to stress it. If you want to write it down, if you learn anything today, this is what you need to remember. Your thanksgiving, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks unto the Lord from a heart that means it, is the only sacrifice. Now we're talking about offering up sacrifices. It's the only sacrifice that God is going to accept from you. The only one. There is no other sacrifice that God accepts. And we're going to prove that this morning. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is the only one that God takes pleasure in. And God is pleased with. And He smiles on you when you give Him thanks. But how you and I offer this is very important. Now let's look at the word sacrifice for a moment. Now we're going to tie these two, thanksgiving and sacrifice, together, because our thanksgiving is the fruit of our lips in thanksgiving is the sacrifice that God accepts. So let's look at the word sacrifice. Let's understand what a sacrifice is. What does a sacrifice mean to you when you talk about a sacrifice? It means to you and to me, probably this is what it means. It means that for you to give up something that is precious to you for the sake or the well-being of another. Right? Isn't that what a sacrifice is? Is when you give something up for someone else so that they can prosper or they can have a better life. That's what the word sacrifice means to us. And many of us in this room here, especially if you've ever had children, which we all have made sacrifice, many of them. I mean, mothers sacrifice with little babies every night. They sacrifice sleep. They sacrifice all kinds of things. But we don't, as moms or even as dads, we don't really look at that as a sacrifice because we're not trying to earn brownie points with our children. Why do you sacrifice? Your motive is right. Why? Because of love. Love is the motive. You don't stop to think, oh, you know, I'm earning a bunch of brownie points here. I didn't sleep last night, Charlie, you know. You better be good to me. No. As a parent, you do. You sacrifice all kinds of things for your children. Not because you're trying to earn brownie points. I need to stress that. Only because of love. And love is a good reason. It's the only reason. And the Bible tells us love never fails. Love never fails. But to offer up a sacrifice of suffering, your aches, your pains, are you doing that out of love? That's not motivated by love. If you offer up your human sufferings to God in order to obtain more favor, that's vain. That's useless. There's no power in it. It's a waste of time. You know, sacrifices made unto God originated way back in the beginning of the Bible. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, the very next chapter, I believe it's chapter 2, it says they knew, Adam knew Eve, and they had, who's their firstborn? Cain. And as soon as after Cain was born, they had Abel. We took that last week. And it said in the course of time, now this is the very first children. In the course of time, it says they both brought a sacrifice unto the Lord. First question, how did they know to bring a sacrifice? Where did they learn that? Why did they sacrifice to the Lord? You know, you got to ask yourself these questions. They brought a sacrifice to the Lord. This is the very first children after Adam and Eve. Well, obviously, God had taught Adam and Eve about sacrificing, and Adam and Eve had taught their children to sacrifice. So it goes way back to the beginning. Now, this is the very first time the word sacrifice is used in the Bible, and we know, and I teach and I believe it because I see it over and over again, that the law of first mention comes in here. What is the law of first mention? The very first time a word is used in the Bible, study that story, study that part very carefully, because everything you need to know about that particular thing is in that scripture. It's amazing. It's found in the meaning of the words. Sometimes if there's numbers used, you can see it in the numbers. You see the truth hidden there. And so we're going to go back and I'm just going to share a little bit with Abel and Cain. It says that Cain was the firstborn. Abel came next. Cain was we had that last week. Cain was what? He was a tiller of the ground. The word tiller, he worked the ground. He was a farmer. That's what he did. What did Abel do? He was a keeper of sheep. So he was a shepherd. He looked after sheep. It says, in the course of time, both brothers came to stand before the Lord with a sacrifice. Now, we know that Cain's sacrifice was accepted. Abel's was rejected. Now, begs to ask a lot of questions. Why? Did he like Cain better than Abel? No. The Bible tells us God is no respecter of persons. He loves you as much as he loves me. He loves everyone in this room. So why was one sacrifice accepted and the other one rejected? Well, we know from scripture that Cain brought, because he was a farmer, he brought the first fruits of his crop to the Lord, the best, the first fruits. That's what the tithe is, the first fruit. And he brought it before the Lord, and Abel brought a lamb, the firstling before the Lord. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He rejected Cain's. Now that tells us right there something about giving sacrifice to God, what God will accept and what he will reject. Now, in the natural, it seems unfair. I mean, Cain was out there working the ground and, you know, had a beautiful crop and he worked hard and he took the best of the crop and he gave it to the Lord, and God said, nope. It says he had no respect. And when you look up the word, we looked at it last week, respect means he didn't even look at it. Now that's pretty hard, eh? I mean, in the natural, we do that lots. We try so hard, and we bring something that we think is our best to someone, and they reject it. They don't even look at it. That becomes real personal, because you put your blood, sweat, and tears into that project, and you toiled, and God rejected it. God only accepted one of the offerings. It was the lamb. And I want us to really see that at the very first mention of the word sacrifice is all of the understanding and the revelation of sacrificing to God. So first of all, did God respect or like Abel better than Cain? No, it had nothing to do with the persons, the two people. Did one offer to God with more respect? Did they offer differently? With more reverence, possibly? Abel had more reverence before God. He was holier than his brother Cain. You know, was that it? No, that was not it. It is not, and it was not, about the offerer. And it is not, and will not be, today in the new covenant, about the offerer. It's not about you. God does not accept your sacrifice because of you or based on something you did. God rejected Cain's offering because Cain's offering represented Cain's work, Cain's suffering, his labor, his toil. We looked up that word tiller of the ground. It means to labor painfully, weary, toiling, toilsome labor. And so many times, that's what we do in our lives when we offer up to God something that is laborsome, something that we hate, something that it might be a pain in your body that's causing you to really have to, it's wearying, grueling in this life. And so we think, well, I'm just going to offer that up to God as a sacrifice. God rejected it. God will always reject that. Why? Because it represents you. Why did God receive the lamb? Who does it represent? Jesus. The only offering that God respects. The only offering that is acceptable to God. You will never be able to offer up to God anything that represents something you did. Because in God's eyes, it's not about the offer. It's all about the offering, right? We've learned that over and over, and we need to stress the importance of us understanding that. There is only one sacrifice that is acceptable to God. It's not our pain and our sufferings. It's not our hard work, our good work ethic. It's not our good mannerisms or our perfect church attendance. It's Jesus. And Jesus is always perfection. Under the old covenant, when the people would miss the mark, and of course here in this church, we don't miss the mark. We're perfect people. We don't sin. We don't do anything wrong, right? I didn't hear an amen. But under the old covenant, even when the people would miss the mark and fall into sin, they were not given a list of things to do as penance, to try to get back in God's good graces. Well, you know, if I do this now for a week and pay this penalty, then I'm going to be good with God again. No. What were they instructed to do in the old covenant when they fell short, when they missed the mark? And all of us in this room miss the mark. There's not one of us in here that's perfect. They were not given a list of things that they had to do or to suffer or go through in order to get back into God's good graces. They were instructed to do what? Each person or household was instructed to bring an animal to the priest. What was the animal for? A sacrifice. That was the sacrifice. So when the priest, you would go to the priest, and depending on how, what part, like how rich you were or how much money you had, would depend on the sacrifice. Like if you were very poor, you would bring a pigeon. Or, you know, some families brought lambs, whatever. And then you would present your animal to the priest. The priest never examined you. He knew why you were there. You were a sinner. But he examined what? The sacrifice. And that sacrifice, the Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus, if you go back and you read about the sacrifice, had to be perfect. Don't you bring an animal with a broken leg or that had blemishes or was diseased in any way, because it would have been rejected. God rejected Cain's sacrifice. He didn't reject Cain. He rejected the sacrifice. When they brought the animal, the priest had to accept it based on the condition of the animal. What did that sacrifice represent? It had to be without spot, without blemish. That sacrifice represented Jesus, always. That's why it had to be spotless, because God would not receive it otherwise. So that's what we see going through the Old Testament. God didn't tell you, no, you got to go do this and do that and try to get back into God's grace. No, as soon as you missed it, you knew you had to bring a sacrifice. You gave it to the priest, you backed away. The priest did, he would kill the sacrifice. He'd take the blood, which was the life of the animal, sprinkle it on God's mercy seat, come back and sprinkle the blood on you, and you were good to go for a year. And when you walked away, you were completely forgiven. And not only completely forgiven, if there was any ailments or sickness or disease or pains in your body, you were completely made whole. It had nothing to do with you doing anything. It was all about the sacrifice. This morning we're talking about a sacrifice, because God honors your sacrifice. God either rejects or receives and accepts your sacrifice. And in receiving it, we receive great blessing. Now, in the Old Covenant, they had to bring animals that were typical or that represented Jesus, because Jesus hadn't come yet. But everything from the beginning right to the end is all about Jesus. It's got nothing to do with you. Don't go to the Bible and read it and find out what you are supposed to do and not do. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And it's about what he did. And when we approach the scriptures in that light, it's amazing what you're going to start finding out about Jesus. So the sacrifice is not about you. It's about the sacrifice, about the animal in the Old Covenant. It wasn't about the person, the offerer. And today in the New Covenant, even though we don't offer sacrifices anymore, do we? Anybody here still offer animals unto the Lord and blood sacrifices? No, we don't practice that anymore. But do you know that sometimes we are offering up what we think is sacrifices in our own lives? It may not be a pigeon or an animal, but it's other things that we think that we are doing and offering them up as sacrifices and wondering why there's just not much results from it. But you know what? If this didn't fly in the Old Covenant, it surely isn't going to go over with God in the New. Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to look, turn over there if you got your Bibles. I want us to read 9 and 10 and verse 14. Then said he, speaking about Jesus, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the old that he may establish. Or he takes away the first that he might establish the second. What is the first? It's the old covenant. He takes away the animal sacrifices. That was the old covenant. That he might establish the new. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body now of Jesus. Once for all. Once for all. Jesus was the sacrifice that everything in the old covenant pointed towards. If you had eyes to see and understand, you would have seen Jesus all along and knew that there was one sacrifice coming that was going to completely satisfy God for all time. There will never be another offering made after Jesus that is going to appease the Father. It was all about Jesus. So now, once for all, Jesus has been offered. So now, where does that leave you and I in sacrifices to God? The sacrifice was given up, and God accepted it. He accepted the sacrifice of his Son. Aren't you glad? Because Jesus was our substitute. He took our place. Even as the animals in the old covenant, it was the man that sinned, but it was the animal who was innocent that had to pay for the crime of the man who sinned. And the man was the one who walked away free from all sin, totally healed and blessed. The man did not have to pay for his crime, even under the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, how much more, it says, if the blood of bulls and goats could do that and had the power to do that in your life for a year. You know, sometimes I think they had it better than we do. You know what? They knew that this sacrifice was going to forgive them, heal them, cleanse them for a year. They walked away. They were happy. And next year they brought another animal, and then they left for another year and were good to go. How many of us wouldn't mind having that today? We'd all be grabbing our animals and rushing somewhere today to get these animals sacrificed so we could be relieved of our pain and whatever else is going on. But the Bible says, if under the old covenant they enjoyed this type of life, how much more we, because the sacrifice is now been offered, which was Jesus. All of that was just symbolic of the reality of Christ. And so we've just read, by the which will we, you and I, are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, one time, and for all people. You don't got to offer sacrifices anymore. God has been totally appeased. Man is completely forgiven for all time. Blessed is the man unto whom God has forgiven all sin. But also the second part of that is, blessed is the man unto whom God will never impute sin. Why? Because the sacrifice was made for eternity. And you might say, well, how can God make us, how can that be? I haven't even done those sins yet. Well, you know what? When Jesus died on that cross, you weren't even born. So how can you even think that you can get any kind of forgiveness if that's how you think? No, when he sacrificed his body, it was for all time. And now you need to see yourself as completely free as those people were when they walked away for 1 year after they sacrificed their animals. I mean, they were partying. It was, yeah, wow, good. And yet we as Christians, we walk around, many of us, and we're burdened down with sin. We're burdened down with all kinds of things. And God is saying the sacrifice has been offered. You don't need to be walking around like that. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 10. For by one offering, which was Jesus, he has perfected forever, not just for 1 year, but forever, them that are sanctified. What does the word sanctified mean? It means them which have received that sacrifice, which have trusted in that sacrifice. You see, when you brought your animal to the high priest under the old covenant, and let's say Dave is my high priest, and I gave it to Dave, I had to trust my high priest. I had to trust, because you know what? If the high priest took that blood into the Holy of Holies, because we know there was a Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go in. And if Dave didn't prepare himself properly as my high priest, if he went in there with sin or wasn't dressed the way God told him to dress, guess what? God wouldn't receive the sacrifice by his hand. And then he didn't come out. He would die. And they would have, remember I said they had to wrap a rope, they had to tie ropes around the high priest in case they died, because nobody could go in the Holy of Holies except the high priest. Then they had to pull him out. And guess what? If that was your high priest, you had to go away without the blessing. Because it was through the hands of the high priest. And so Jesus today is called our high priest. And you have to trust, even the people back then had to trust that this animal, not only was the animal a good enough sacrifice, but that the high priest was going to be faithful and was going to be a good high priest. And you know, there was times in the Bible, if you read through the accounts, where some of the high priests were a little shady and the people were upset. Guess what? If your blessing in your life is dependent on your high priest, they had meetings. It's like, what are we going to do? This guy is a shyster. Like, we can't trust him. I mean, we need to be forgiven. We need healing. What are we going to do? It was a big thing back then. Now, today, we don't think about that because our high priest is now Jesus. He's perfect. He's never going to mess up. You can trust him completely with your sacrifice. So, by one offering, which was Jesus, his body, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. When we offer up our own good deeds, our own sufferings as a sacrifice or whatever it is that you think you've done that can earn you a little bit more grace with God, we are really saying that Jesus' offering wasn't enough. We got to add a little to it. Got to add a little bit of my works. No, I've said it. I'm going to say it again. The only sacrifice that God accepts is Jesus, the only one. And the only sacrifice now, and I want to tie this together, that you and I can offer up that is acceptable to God is thanksgiving. That's the only one God accepts today from you and I. Why thanksgiving? Because in that one offering of Jesus, his son, God has freely forgiven us for all time. He has freely given us every good thing. He laid on that sacrifice all of our sicknesses, our diseases, our poverty, everything that the curse brought into this world. Jesus took it as an offering. And he paid for our sin because all the curse came in because of man's sin. Right? And so many people carry a lot of things because they think, oh, well, I deserve it. You know, I messed up. I did this. I did that. This is what I get. God took all of that and laid it on the one offering, which was Jesus. He became the substitute. He suffered all the pains and all the penances that we should have suffered. Just like that animal carried all the sins of the person and had to die. And the person went free. That was Jesus, a picture of Jesus. Isaiah 53 tells us all about it. Every curse known to man, he suffered it for us. And so when the Bible tells you and I that we are to continually give thanks for all things, we are not referring to the curse. We are referring to all of the things that Jesus gave us through the cross. That's what it's referring to. Give thanks for all things, not for the disease in your body, but for the healing that Jesus took or the sickness. It was on his body. I am now healed because he took it. See those birds and those animals that were sacrificed in the old covenant, people walking away free. They knew that bird took it all. That lamb had it all. I'm free. And away they went. So it's not referring to the things in your life necessarily that are. But also, when you give thanks, it's referring to the things that you need that are not. That's why it's to be continuous. Example, if you are sick, you don't give thanks for the sickness, but you give thanks for the healing. Why? Because Jesus took your sickness and he's the sacrifice. He was accepted before God. Give thanks for all the things you need because all things have been provided. My God shall supply all of your needs in Christ, in the sacrifice, at the cross. This is the only sacrifice that pleases God is our thanksgiving. Why? Because it shows you have faith. That's what faith is. Shows you have faith in the sacrifice, in the Son. Psalm 116:12, King David says this, "What can I render unto you, O Lord, for all the benefits you've given me?" Does he say, "Oh, I'm going to do mighty exploits for you. I am going to pray 10 hours a day. I am going to fast. I'm going to give all my money. What can I render?" He said, "I will take the cup of salvation." What does that mean? That means that I will receive Jesus as my sin offering. That's what it means to be saved, to receive Jesus as your substitute, as your sin offering. I will take the cup of salvation. We celebrate that in communion. When we drink that cup, we are saying, "I receive you, Jesus, for my offering in my stead. And now I am free." Verse, and then he goes on to say, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people." I'm not ashamed to say this. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord." That is how do I pay you for all these benefits you've given me, Lord? He said, "I will render unto you thanksgiving." I will receive, first of all, I will receive it. I will take unto myself the cup of salvation, which is the sacrifice of Jesus, and then I will render thanksgiving unto your name. When we give thanks for the things we don't have in the name of Jesus, we are magnifying what Jesus has done. I will praise, Psalm 69:30, King David says again, "I will praise the name of my God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving." What does it mean to magnify something? It means to make it big. You take a magnifying glass and that thing grows from here to this. Thanksgiving magnifies the sacrifice. When we give thanks to God, you have to understand what Jesus means to God. Jesus becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more you magnify Jesus before God, the more pleased God is. Because it was all about his Son. Yes, he gave up his Son. Just like I said before, parents give up things because of love. God so loved the world, he gave up Jesus. So to magnify something means to make it big. To make big what Jesus has done for you, even in the face of your trouble. To make it big. "You know what? I have this trouble going on over here. But in comparison to the sacrifice, that little trouble's nothing. I'm going to magnify Jesus and what he's done with thanksgiving." That's what it does. Don't magnify the problem by complaining, because when you complain, that's what you're doing. You're taking that thing that's eating you and you're making it bigger. And the bigger it gets, the worse it gets. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't have any cares in this life. Don't have any worries or stress. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry or stress, but in all things, the Bible tells us, through your prayer and your supplication, and simply asking, with thanksgiving, always with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Why with thanksgiving? Because at the time you make that request, you don't have the thing in the natural that you need, whether it's healing or money. I don't know what it is you're asking God for. But when you make after your request, make thanksgiving. That tells God that the sacrifice was enough and that I now have what I've asked because of the sacrifice, only because of Jesus. That's why with thanksgiving, always with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving means we are to continually thank him ahead of time for every blessing. Always being thankful. Don't talk about the problems. Don't complain or murmur. But be thankful for what you do believe. For what you know God already is going to do for you. You know, it might sound odd to people looking in and saying, "Well, you don't have that." They think you're lying. No, that's what living by faith is all about. It's being thankful. Even though you don't see the thing that you need in the natural, you're thankful for it because you know the sacrifice was already offered and it's already yours. Continue to thank him ahead of time for every blessing. And when you and I give thanks unto God, in the name of our Lord Jesus, you have to see and understand, get a picture of this. We are actually releasing the blessing that Jesus already died to give us thousands of years ago. John chapter 6, when Jesus was preaching to over 5,000 people, and it began to get late. I mean, we know the story. And there was no place around for these people to go and get food. And Jesus could see they were going to faint on their way home, because many of them had traveled many miles, if they didn't get something to eat first. And so he calls his disciples and says, okay, you know, these guys, they've been sitting here all day listening to me. I've been preaching to them. And we got to feed these people before we send them home. And of course, Philip, I think it was Philip or Andrew, says, the Lord, you know, we only got one small boy's lunch. He's got five buns or five small loaves and two fishes. That is not enough to feed anybody. So, of course, Jesus, we know the story. Jesus asks for the lunch to be brought to him. Now, there's something we can learn, because Jesus also operated by faith. Jesus also had to walk. He was a man. He was God, yes, but he was operating. He put his deity aside, and he came to the earth as you and me. He had to be our substitute in every way, except without sin. So he also had to walk by faith. He also had to trust God. And so Jesus takes to this small lad's one lunch. He looks out, and it says there was 5,000 men. Now, that means there was over 5,000 people. Now, he didn't take the lunch and look at it and say, oh, God, what? How am I supposed to feed 5,000-plus people with five buns and two sardines? Like, that's not what Jesus did he? He took the lunch, and he immediately looked. He didn't even look at what he had in his hand. He looked up to heaven, and he said, thank you, Father. He gave thanks for the bread and the fish. But what was he giving thanks for? He was giving thanks ahead of time for enough to feed 5,000-plus people. And that's a picture of how we are to live by faith. That's a picture of faith. You may only have $5 in your wallet, and you need 5,000. Give thanks. Look up and thank God for the 5,000. And God, you release the blessing. It says Jesus just simply looked up to heaven and gave thanks. Then he handed the loaves to the disciples, and in the disciples all of a sudden were just handing out, and they just kept multiplying. And in fact, they had so much left over. And it says the people ate until they were completely full. So if there was 5,000, and each one would have ate at least five little buns, because it says they were small. And when he gave thanks, God supernaturally multiplied the five into 25,000. So next time you got a lack in your life, try Thanksgiving and see the multiplication take place. It's a supernatural multiplication, but God uses natural means to bring in the supernatural. We don't see how it all happens. It doesn't matter. When you have a need, give thanks. Don't complain. Oh, man, this is all I got. This is never going to pay the bills. Give thanks and watch God multiply it. When you have a pain in your body, don't complain about the pain. Don't even go there. You got a pain in your body? Begin to be thankful for the painlessness, for the energy you have, for the health that you have. Don't focus on the negative. Give thanks for God supplying you with whatever you need, and watch God work. If you see your body breaking down, things going south, which we all do as you age, don't complain about your problem, because you're magnifying it. You're making it worse. Why do we complain? Why does mankind complain? You know why the Bible says? Because of unbelief. Because we do not believe in the sacrifice. So we complain. It's unbelief. If you knew that everything you needed and more was provided through that sacrifice, we would give thanks instead of complaining. We'd know where the answer comes from. No, you need to give thanks that your body is well and it's able to function properly, painlessly, filled with energy, whatever it is you need, in order to live a fulfilled and a healthy life. Give thanks for boundless energy. Give thanks for all of the things you need in your life, in Jesus' name. We are to live continually with thanksgiving in our. Why? Because the Bible says the just are to live by faith. Everything should be by faith. That means we are continually thanking God every day for the, that's how we work. You know, that's how we live. I may not see it right now. It doesn't matter. I just give thanks, Lord, that you're going to provide that for us when the time comes, when we need it. You know what? You don't need it today. You may not need it till next week. Don't worry about it. Just give thanks that the provision will be there, and it will be. And not only will the provision be there, even more than you need. This is living by faith. Faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. That's where our faith lies. Okay? And without faith, the Bible tells us, it's impossible to please our God, our Father. And so our thanksgiving, I'm going to end on this note, your thanksgiving, my thanksgiving, is your sacrifice of faith to God. It's your sacrifice of faith. Thanksgiving, the more faith we have, the more thanksgiving will come out of our and flow out of our lives and out of our mouths. Because it's God's way. It's God's way. You know, you ever been put in a corner, I'm just going to end with this, in the natural, where somebody comes up to you and says, "Oh, Don, geez, thanks for doing that for me." And it's something Don hasn't even done. What does that do to you? It makes you feel like, ooh, they're thanking me ahead of time for something I haven't done. My goodness. But even in the natural, we feel a compulsion now to do it. They're thanking me for something I didn't do. Oh, I guess I better do it. How much more God? We thank him ahead of time? The only difference with God is he's already done all things through Christ for us. So thankfulness is power. You got a need? You want some blessing and favor to flow into your life? Open up your mouth and just begin to pour forth thankfulness. And I guarantee that thing is going to turn around. It's going to start to prosper, or whatever needs to happen in order for you to live a more increased life. But the only sacrifice that God receives from you is thanksgiving from your lips that comes from your heart, and your heart which trusts and believes in the sacrifice of Jesus. That's true thanksgiving. And with that, God is well pleased. Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you.